When I was your age, I would lug 50 pounds of ice up 5-6 flights of stairs.
So what?
So what? So let's dance. I was alone. I never knew what could left me. Bah! Now, what the devil? Then we touched, then we sang about the love things. The man's a menace.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. We're back here again, down in the bowels of the Broadway Comedy Club in scary New York City. My co-host Jeffrey Paul to my left.
Hello Kevin, like Eli Manning, you wilted under pressure.
If he's wilting under pressure, what does that make Ryan Fitzpatrick? How about dead on arrival? How about Pamela Ray to my 1 o'clock? Hi, Pam.
Hey.
Hi.
Pamela.
Hi.
Pamela's here because of her wealth of knowledge in sports. So, guys, be prepared to have some truth bombs dropped. Speaking of sports, let's hit it off the gates here, Jeffrey Paul. Week 5 of the NFL. What a doozy. Unless you're gambling. And I went 4-3-1. Enough to be a winner this week.
Made a couple of good calls, though, this week. I'm going to brag a little bit here.
What'd you have?
Detroit.
You did. Not take them.
Here's the reason why. I think we spoke about this last time. Maybe I did another show, but I was saying that this is going to be a trap game for the Eagles, and I was 1,000% right. The thing that impressed me, though, was how they kind of rebounded and could have won that game. But right off the bat, man, the first three drives, Detroit scores, they're up 21-0. You think it's going to be blowout. Defense comes together. Carson Wentz doesn't force anything. Unlike the Jets, they stick to the fucking running game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but ultimately, that's what dooms them in because Ryan Matthews has that
drop.
That fumble. Yeah. Right. But yeah.
What else you have yesterday for the picks?
I only went with one game yesterday.
You only bet one?
That's the only one I was basically. I mean, you weren't getting anything back. New England Browns. You know, really, Rachel saw that one coming.
That was my suicide pick times two.
Why'd you waste a pick on that?
Because there's no one else that was a no-brainer in my book. Who else was an absolute no-brainer yesterday? No one. Thank you very much.
You could have gone with, and it would have been a little risky, I think, Tennessee, because I think...
No. Miami, I bet them plus a 3.5.
Miami's the second worst team in the league.
I bet them plus 3.5 to cover that. I knew they were going to win.
When you have zero running game, it is so easy to play defense.
Yeah, no, they're terrible. I would not use Tennessee as a suicide pick.
You just drop back, okay? Tannehill is inaccurate, and that's
he's
why
trash.
He forces the ball. But anyway,
I lost the Niners under. That game looked great for the under on Thursday night for a while, and then decided, you know, out of the blue, they decided to start scoring, and I lost that under. I did do very well at 1 o'clock. I almost damn near swept. The Bears fucked me. They were driving again. Then they fumble. They kick a field goal because I was getting 4.5. They fumble. They kick a field goal. I'm out. Then the Bears are driving down the field again, and they can't get a touchdown. But I thought that would be a no-brainer. Colts coming off the long that was the one I lost.
Two teams that don't play defense.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. 4.5 was too many.
Yeah,
I did take the the Vikings. That's a no-brainer. My buddy put it best. He goes, Whenever Minnesota lets a team score more than 14 points, then it's time to lay off them. But until then, ride the shit out of them. That's exactly what I did. I bet them hit that. Tennessee bet them hit that. I took the Skins. I said, look, Baltimore, fun fact, has not beaten one team this year by more than 3 points. I was getting 3.5, and I took it, and Skins went outright. So there you have it. Hit that one. And then I also had the Oakland over. That's a no-brainer. Those teams both have no defense. And then I had pushed the Giants plus 7, and I lost the over because they just fucking didn't score.
I don't think Oakland has no defense. I think they have
31 points yesterday. That's that means no defense.
Well, you know what? Also, gotta give a little credit to Rivers. Rivers is having a secretly great, great year. Even with like second and third string receivers, he lights it up. You know where I went yesterday? Over the weekend where I was going to go, but it didn't happen. I was going to bet I was going to take Rutgers and the 30-something plus points.
Whoops.
It's a good thing I didn't put it in because I figured, okay, again, Michigan's going to let up. Rutgers had let up 58 points the week before. They're going to show up. They're going to lose the game. They're going to get blown out. But maybe somehow they keep it close. They lose by 28 points. It's still a blowout. I could have taken Rutgers and 30 points plus two and still lost going away.
They could. Rutgers looked. I think 11 Pamela Rays out in the field would have done a better job than what Rutgers did on Saturday.
How does a
Rutgers lost the game to Michigan 78-0.
Do you understand what that means?
I do.
This wasn't basketball.
Yeah, that's virtually 11 touchdowns. I mean, I'm sure it was 10 and a couple field goals.
Do you know
goals.
How many first downs they got in the whole game?
Rutgers? I know it was something like the ball for like 2 minutes. I think they had like one or two first downs, right?
Two first downs.
Yeah.
Under 40 yards total offense.
That's disgusting.
What I hear you saying is that if I went to Rutgers, I would have a chance at being a football star.
Yes.
Overweight, 4'7".
If you lean forward, you would have had more rushing yards than Rutgers did. Rutgers average. They rushed the ball 36 times. They accumulated 34 yards.
That is a fucking atrocious. How many times did the guy get sacked? The quarterback get sacked? Because obviously that counts for the stats.
It did a bunch of times, but they didn't even drop back to pass that much.
Can you imagine
under 20 passes?
And wasn't it in Rutgers too? Wasn't at New Brunswick?
Yes.
Oh my! Imagine you're a Rutgers guy. Like, oh, I'm gonna go see him.
53,000 people showed up.
Oh, that game! That game must have been empty by like midway through the second quarter. I mean, I didn't see the scoring broke down, but. The one thing Rutgers doesn't know how to do is
spoken
lead.
Like a true girl. Yeah. Or the poor kids.
A lot of people with feelings. Yeah,
their night's going to be ruined.
The one thing that Rutgers does lead the college ranks in are STDs. Remember that story? That was like back then. I think 3 out of 4 Rutgers people, students had an STD like in
is
the
90s. Is that a real thing or
is
just a bit?
No. It totally is. It was back in the 90s. Everyone went to Rutgers who was my age. We busted their balls. I'm like, don't touch Nick. He's got the cooties. Like, yeah, they're.
3 out of 4?
Yeah.
That's like a B- in STDs as a university. That's pretty
right?
Good.
That's a lot of fucking
good.
Going on.
Yeah. I should have gone.
Yeah. There. You know what? I'd risk the STD for the action.
Be worth it.
Yeah. Where'd you go to school, Pam?
In the middle of the Midwest.
Okay.
Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois.
Is that an accredited university?
Yes, but we actually have the
Is that online?
No.
Oh, okay.
We're like surrounded by cornfields. We have the record of the worst football team in the history of college sports.
What's the name of the school?
Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois.
Knox,
K-N-O-X. Yeah. Right. It was something. It was like a bit we were bad.
Why? Like how many like losing seasons or just losses or what was the record?
It was something like we let other teams get away with more points against us than any other college. I don't know exactly.
Spoken like
was.
A true woman.
Yeah. She admittedly knows.
No, I know. This is not her forte. I'm not knocking at all. It's just funny to hear women who don't know sports.
Listen, I like going to games. I like the idea
drinking,
of getting drunk and
drinking,
yelling and painting part of my body that shouldn't be painted.
Listen, you do all that stuff without going to a game, though.
It's just like a Wednesday night.
Oh. So, that's, I guess, anything else in the sport? Giants ate a bag of dicks. Jets were nothing too special either.
Well, you know, did you watch the Jet game?
I did, because it was the only game on 1 o'clock.
Great first half. It was a really good first half. They're down by 4 points at halftime, and it wasn't until, like, the last play of the first half that the Steelers took the lead, so they hang in there. But you could see where the Jets make no adjustments, and the Steelers make every adjustment, and they just were outclassed that whole second half.
This is the second week in a row I talked to my buddy Danny, who's a huge Steeler fan. I said, what do you think? I said, the line went from 7 to 9, which means the public's on it, which I don't like betting the public on that. I'm like, that's a lot, but the Jets suck. He's like, 9 is too much. They're too banged up. Stay the fuck away. And then, of course, they just go light up. And I had Sammy Coates on my bench in 2 leagues. But I won.
That?
What?
Why'd you do that?
What? Because Sammy Coates hasn't done shit since.
Who'd you start over Sammy Coates?
All right, so this is the one debate. This is the one debate. It was either him or John Brown. I'll tell you why I went with John Brown. I'll tell you why. Because Drew Stanton and him had a connection. Last year they lit it up when Carson Palmer was out.
Hold on.
And then last week when Carson Palmer got knocked out, John Brown had 170 yards. That's why. And Sammy Coates was doing nothing all year. Nothing. Nothing. And look at him yesterday. How many balls did he drop? 5? 6?
Yeah. You knew he was going to light up that Jets secondary. And sure enough, it was at the first quarter, they hit on that huge bomb. The Jets are good for one of those a game.
Okay.
All right.
But still, that was a lot. Listen, he hasn't done shit to prove. So it didn't burn me. I still ended up winning both those games I had him in.
Speed guys always kill the Jets.
Right. All right. What else? Talk some films here we got coming out.
Some movies to make Pam feel a little comfortable. So we're more in her ballpark.
This is what we do. So we'll go over the we call this, I don't know, we don't have a name for it yet, but I have a retarded. Oh, that what you doing, set? Okay. Yeah. So actually, we'll come back to the game in a minute. We Jeff and I, we'd love to come up with a list because what the fuck, right? Why not? We have a list of the top sport films that we think, in our opinion, it doesn't mean we're going to make them like the master, you know, the AFI list, whatever. Pam, do you have any sport films that would say your personal favorites?
Absolutely. A League of Their Own, without a doubt.
Oh, are you a Rockford Peach? Is that Rockford Peach? Excuse me?
Chubby chicks playing softball. Best movie ever.
I mean, Madonna was a little hefty in that film.
No,
Rosie O'Donnell's in it, too.
I know.
I would become a lesbian for Rosie O'Donnell.
A sexy Gina Davis?
Oh. What do you mean become?
I would switch teams for Rosie O'Donnell.
Gina Davis, here you go. Gina Davis in her prime, attractive or not attractive?
Attractive.
There are moments I'm like, yeah, but then you see in Thelma and Louise, like, no. With The Long Kiss Goodnight, you're like, nah, all right.
Even in Tootsie, she was hot when she was wearing her
underwear. I haven't seen Tootsie since like seven.
Yeah. I've never seen Tootsie.
It didn't. Again, I saw it when I was young, so it deserves a second look. Jeffrey Paul, we'll go tit for tat. Sport films. Give me. It doesn't have to be in any order at all, of course. What's your
okay? First one that came to my mind, without a doubt, is got to be Rocky.
Okay.
Best Picture, 76.
Right.
And in parentheses, Rocky IV and Creed. It all falls under the same genre, but Rocky, without a doubt, in my opinion, best sports movie out there.
I will agree with you. I have Rocky 1 through 3 as my, because I love 3.
No, 2 and 3 are excellent.
Yeah.
4, I think, is great too.
It's fine. It's not. That's a noticeable drop off. I still like it.
Come on, Drago.
He's great, but the nonstop music video aspect kind of takes away. It does. It has.
You don't like the Robert Tepper? There's No Easy Way Out. Come on.
What's the song? By my heart.
I'd be driving my car, you know, and pretend I'm Rocky.
His Iroxy in Staten Island.
That's right, baby.
T-tops off. Wind flowing through his hair.
I had the Rocky sweater on.
Of course you did. So Rocky went through, and I'll start the next one. Of course, you know my favorite film of all time. Of course, I'd be remiss not to put in here. Caddyshack, of course. Sport film. Absolutely fucking.
I was going to put that on my list, and I love Caddyshack. It's a good movie.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
But I had better movies.
All right.
I'm beginning to question if neither of you listed A League of Their Own.
I have it
as an honorable mention.
It's right here.
Okay. I do. No, I enjoy the shit out of it.
I have it number
burn this whole place down.
I have it number 6.
My grandmother was an extra in that film. There you go. She was. Jeff, give me another one, and I'll fire back.
My second favorite sports movie of all time, Rudy. How do you not like Rudy?
Man? I have it on my list as well, so that's good. Love Rudy. I'm going to say these next two I'll fire, and I'll give them back to back. These are my top two tie for first. They are comedies. Baseball films. Field of Dreams, without a question in the world.
100% number 3 on my list.
Okay, and
when he's playing catch with
his old man, that's every fucking guy.
If you don't cry, you have a fucking no soul. That is a great, great movie.
And James Earl Jones' monologue about baseball being America's game is excellent. And the other best baseball film, I would say, of course, Major League. Come on.
I have it at number 7 on my list.
Fucking
great comedy.
Hilarious. It still holds up. Come on, Dorn, get in front of the damn ball. Don't give me that old label shit.
Willie Mays, Hayes, come on. And look how much talent was in that movie. Charlie Sheen.
Snipes.
Corbin Burnson.
I mean, let's not – the line stops there.
There's a 97% chance I haven't seen that.
There's a 100% chance you should leave after that.
Oh, wait, Tom Berenger is in it.
Platoon. All right, besides that.
Best character in any movie was Sergeant Bonds in Platoon.
I enjoy it.
Amazing.
Did you see Platoon?
I have, yes.
Come on, Sergeant Bonds.
Yeah. Pam's in the theater going, they don't have it worse than I do. Fuck them.
You know what the best line in Platoon was? When they're playing cards and John McGinley is trying to impress Bonds, right? And he's like, right, Bob, right? And then the other guy, you know, is conservative in his betting. And to impress Bonds, John C. McGinley goes, what are you doing? Try and save up to be Jewish? That is a great line. And Bonds just gives him a look like, shut the fuck up and deal. You know, that is it. He's so great in that movie. I love Tom Berenger.
Jeffrey Paul's anti-Semitism is coming out right now. That's why.
That's okay.
I didn't write the movie, dude.
That's his favorite line. All right, Jeff.
It's a great scene.
What was your – so I said, okay, so Field of Dreams and Major League. So what do you got? Fireback.
Okay, so I had Field of Dreams also. And then I also have Slapshot. I still think it kind of
– overrated.
Wrong. Okay, and overrated. Here's the reason why. It doesn't hold up as far as outfits and the music, But it still is funny. And the first time the Hanson brothers hit the ice and they're putting up the foil on their fists and playing with their toys in the room, it's still hilarious. And when the guy stops, shoots the puck, hits the broadcaster in the head with the puck and his toupee falls off, fucking great. It still holds up. It's as funny. It's a funny movie.
It's fine.
And Paul Newman. Come on.
It's fine. It's not a classic like everyone makes it out to be. I have... I'm sure I'm going to get shit for this one, and I don't give a fuck. I love this. I love this film. I think it's... I don't give a shit. I think it's the best NFL football film. I love Any Given Sunday. I absolutely love it. Fucking love it.
Boring.
No way. So boring. So many character stories.
The epitome of over-the-top Pacino.
So many... Oh, that locker room speech.
No.
I love it. That drive in the end, too. Oh, so good.
It felt like forced emotion. Don't force me to feel about sports.
I thought you were going to say it felt like 4 days watching that movie.
It probably did.
It was 3 hours long. I love it. I fucking love that film. Anyway.
Now, you may debate me on this being a sports movie, but I think it is. The Wrestler?
I have it on my list. I rewatched it a few weeks ago.
Still think an underrated movie.
Absolutely.
And one of our comedy compadres is in that movie, Todd Barry. Fucking
yes,
amazing.
Yeah, he's the manager of Acme.
Right. He's just such a prick to him in that movie.
Right.
Such a great movie. So many good scenes. You know what scene always stands out? It really epitomized that whole scene. Do you remember, the whole wrestling scene, the over-the-top, the guys who were great in the 80s and nothing going on 20 years later when they're at the signing and there's like a couple of people milling around and all these, has-beens, they're sitting there and then he charges the kid $5 for a picture.
Right.
He has his dumb toys and stuff. It just was so sad but so true and
loved
real.
It.
Great, great movie.
Loved it. I say the best hockey film is not Slapshot.
If you say Young Blood, I'm kind of jump over this table.
No, I never
and
saw
beat
that.
You over the head with your phone.
Miracle. Love it.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
Debating it.
Love
debating
it.
That. It is a good movie.
That, if you don't tear up in the end when the U.S. beats the fucking Russians, you're a communist pinko fuck. Right.
You're un-American.
Absolutely love it. Kurt Russell killed it.
Good performance by Kurt Russell as
Herb
Brooks. Yeah.
Loved
I'm up
it.
There with that.
Excellent. Jeff, what do you got?
Okay, so we spoke a little bit League of Their Own.
Yep.
We spoke Major League. Next movie on my list was North Dallas 40.
I haven't seen it in so long, I don't remember.
I've
Burt
never
Reynolds.
Even heard of it.
Burt Reynolds.
Wrong.
It was Burt Reynolds?
No.
That's the longest yard. What the fuck am I thinking?
Which was almost made my top 10 movies, the original longest yard. But North Dallas 40 was Mac Davis and a young Nick Nolte.
That's it, Nolte. Okay. Yeah, I don't recall it, so I'm not going to comment on that one. Here's one. I think this could be one of the biggest underrated films, Cinderella Man.
What's my next movie?
No shit.
Love it. Cinderella
you,
Man.
It's Russell Crowe. It's a boxing story, him and Renee Zellweger.
I have seen that.
No one gave a fuck about
it's
it.
About Gentleman
so
Jim Braddock.
Braddock. Very, very, very good.
And also historically correct. And the depiction.
You were there, you old fuck?
I was there. But that's good shit. Again, one thing I Kevin nailing with these jokes. That silence was deserved.
Nope.
The scene, like when they go into Central Park, and at the time they were considered Hoovervilles, because Hoover's the president, and it was the Depression era, and he's looking for his friend, and people are sleeping with the newspapers over them, and in cardboard shacks, because that's what it was like during the Depression. I thought it was a great depiction of history. I thought it was a very accurate depiction of boxing. Mm-hmm. I think it's, again, one of the most underrated movies out there, that and The Wrestler, both excellent, excellent movies.
I don't think The Wrestler was deemed as underrated because it did get a lot of Oscar consideration, but I think...
what I mean by underrated is like how people always talk about movies. The Wrestler always seems to be great movies. Goodfellas always comes to people's mind. I think The Wrestler is kind of like left out of that conversation. Same thing with Cinderella Man. But once you start watching these movies, you can't stop. There's great performances by Russell Crowe. In that Paul Giamatti, of course, excellent as usual. Even Renee Zellweger, who I hate, is great in this movie.
Why do you hate her?
She takes me out of every movie. She's not hot. Like in Jerry Maguire, he's not leaving anybody for her.
No, completely agree. He's going to leave What's-Her-Face's wife, or the redhead. Oh,
right,
she's ridiculous.
He's leaving Kelly Preston.
Yeah, he's fucking her in the fridge. I mean, what more of an animal do you want?
It's like, dude, I'm taking her pumpkin picking, all right? That's how much bullshit
Renee Zellweger looks like she's like 24-7, like she's walking through a fart cloud the way her face is. It's kind of like all squinched up. Or someone squirted a lemon in her eye.
I think she had it pulled too tight.
She did, and she looks better now.
No, she looks worse. worse.
I think she looks better.
Ugh, no.
I just saw her in Bridget Jones. Is that her?
You paid for the, you paid to see the new film?
No, screw you. I went for free.
Oh, choose. I tell you.
It was awful. I couldn't even watch it.
It tanked.
I loved every minute of how bad it was. But she looks like she's just been pulled in every direction and her face is giving up.
For free, do you go see that movie?
No. I didn't care about the first two. Why the fuck would I go see this?
I'm Jewish. I'll do pretty much anything for free. There were two previous movies
of this shit?
No, yeah. This is the third one.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Next on the list. I love this. Bad News Bears, the original.
Great movie.
The original. Great movie. Not that remake with fucking Billy Bob Thornton. What a piece of shit that was.
No, why was it a piece of shit? Because what was great about the first one?
It was so unpolitically correct.
Right. What were the kids drinking?
Oh, fuck. It was a shitty beer.
But they were drinking beer.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what they were drinking in the remake? Sodas.
Yeah, probably.
It ruins it.
Well, to be fair, soda now is almost like beer in the 70s.
Come on, dude.
The way that people – kidding. No.
That was the greatest thing. Also,
Tanner the shortstop was – Tanner Boyle.
Fantastic. But how great is Matthew in
fucking
that?
Great.
He's perfect casting for it. And he's grouchy.
All right, Boilermaker, get out there, you fat turd.
He's grouchy the whole time. And then just like him, relentless, not giving in to Tatum O'Neal. Just wanted to use her to win, and that was it. No matter how she tried to get close. And then he throws the beer on her.
How about –
he was a great prick in that movie.
Here's another reason why this film is so great of the time. It came out in 76. Remember when the guy, the head coach of the Yankees, smacked his fucking kid on the pitching mound?
Yeah.
And like you couldn't even think of doing that now. Like, nope. The dad goes on the mound, Pam, and belts his kid across the face because he fucked up.
Child Protective Services would be there before.
They would protest the shit out of that today. Like, even like back then, you're like,
And they go back and play the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
now the father,
they walk off, the mom gets pissed off. That's right. Fucking great.
Nothing even came close. There wasn't anything like that in the remake. Yeah.
That's why, again, I didn't even pay for that. I waited for the video.
Now people get offended.
I was thinking about putting that on my list.
I had to make the list. I got one more. I'm going to get shit for this. I love this. I don't give a shit. Another baseball film. Kid film. I love Little Big League. I absolutely love that film.
Which one is that?
That's one where the Jason Robards is the owner of the Twins. He dies, and the 12-year-old kid manages the Twins. Ronnie Cox from Beverly Hills Cop is the – not Ronnie Cox. John Ashton is his bench coach. Timothy Busfield is his favorite player.
All right, there's a shitload of
cameos from the 90s.
Okay. We were talking about this movie last night. Okay, I was talking about with a bunch of comics. Here's what's wrong with that movie. It's fine, but who do you know who Timothy Busfield is, Pam?
No.
He's Poindexter from Revenge of the Nerds. Okay.
Got it.
He is the sex symbol. Okay. He's the hot first baseman who the kid's mother is fucking. Okay?
The budget was probably $5 million.
But Timothy, get an unknown. No one's believing Poindexter. One is an athlete, and two, he's the hot guy that you're going to bang.
This film came out in 1994. It's like it came out, you know, five years ago.
I still have a problem with it, man. Okay.
Because he has something easy on the eyes. Like, I don't think Brad Pitt was around then.
He has no muscle tone, and he has red hair.
He's
Move
a leadoff
on.
Hitter. What the fuck?
What first baseman's a leadoff hitter? None. Move on. Okay.
It's Slim and None. I know that.
I got two more movies.
All right. Fire away.
I have a question why two didn't make your list.
Okay.
Why what?
You go first, and then I'll ask you why there are two that didn't make your list.
Okay. I got Remember the Titans?
I think it's overrated. It's very sugar.
Whoa.
It's good, but it's not as good as everyone makes it out to be. It's fine. I like it. I don't hate it. I like it, but everyone goes, oh, it's a great sport. No, it's fine.
One, it has Denzel. It has a good performance by Denzel in that. The little girl is really great.
And because of that, it's great for women and men.
That's right.
We can all enjoy
it. So if Pam and I decide we're going to go to the movies together, we may...
You're going to see Bridget Jones' Diary if it's for free.
We would never see that. We'll go see Remember the Titans, and we'll enjoy it.
Don't let Pam hold the popcorn, no.
It's gonna be a hot date. Fuck you.
I'll hold it. I'll do the popcorn.
Oh, you're so original. And the other film, the film on your list.
I have one more, and this is a more recent one. I don't know if you saw.
Okay.
Did you ever see Race, the Jesse Owens movie?
Nope.
Great movie.
Can I tell you? Speaking of, I just thought of another one here. McFarland USA, also new, very good.
What is it called?
McFarland USA. Kevin Costner coaches a bunch of Mexicans down in California. Disney film. And, of course, to feel good, they win cross-country. Here's another one I thought about putting on the list. One that should have made the list and one that I was debating if it's a sports movie. The one I was debating about putting on the list, The Rookie. Dennis Quaid. He's a teacher.
Yeah, I saw it.
And because I followed the story, because that happened like 10 years ago.
Yeah, the guy on the Tampa Bay
Rays, right. A lot of those good. Very good.
So this one I agree that probably shouldn't have been on there, but I love it. I think it's called The Mighty Ducks.
That could be on the list.
It's, yeah. But it's not a film. It's a movie.
Yeah,
it's
I get
crappy,
you.
Crappy. But
it's
I love
fine.
It.
Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
Oh. One,
yeah.
two, and three.
I mean, obviously a great franchise. They named the whole hockey team, yeah. professional hockey team
and
after it.
And
so.
It made girls who were lesbians everywhere believe they could play hockey on a men's team.
Too many kids in the movie. I don't like that.
Cammy Granato.
And then the other one that I thought was going to make your list was Hoosiers.
I have that on my – I don't – see. I have that on my, my overrated
on?
List. It's overrated. It's overrated. Everyone loves it. I don't think it's that good. I think it's okay. I really don't.
What do you think about Longest Yard, the original one with Burt Reynolds?
I haven't seen it in a long time, so I can't give – I don't want to give an assessment.
Bernadette Peters is in it.
Right.
Really good movie.
The remake was shit. As
I thought
we know.
The remake
oh, come
didn't
on.
See the original.
Here's the one film I thought that I didn't want to put on the list because I don't know if it qualifies as a sports movie, Teen Wolf.
Yeah, I saw you post something like that on Facebook.
Basketball.
Yeah, go away.
No, thank you. It did not make...
That's up there with The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow. That's right. Holy shit. All right. Here's a few more overrated. And I thought you were going to say Raging Bull, but I didn't want to put it on. I haven't seen it in so long, I can't comment on that. I haven't seen it in like 30... Like, not 30.
Wait, did you say overrated?
No, I'm saying...
Because I was going to... I can't believe I was going to agree with you on that. That's one of those
I wasn't
that
crazy.
Have to
right.
see it. You don't think it's one of the top 10 movies of all
no,
time?
No, I do not. No,
sorry, I don't.
It's not... I haven't seen it in like a good 10, 15, 20 years maybe even, but I wasn't blown away when I did see it.
It's made well. It's Scorsese.
I know. That's why everyone's
DeNiro,
in love.
We get it. You know, it's Pesci doing Pesci again. He's a crazy brother-in-law. Who gives a fuck? It's okay. It's not great.
It's
good. Yeah. It's very good. That's
Hoosiers
it.
Overrated. Slapshot I thought was overrated. Here are two more that I for the life of me, Tin Cup bored the fuck out of me. I turned it off halfway through.
Unwatchable.
Thank you. And Bull Durham, not a fan. Not a fan.
Doesn't hold up. I've been watching that.
Susan Sarandon, it's hot. Actually,
it's on a lot in it. It's okay. It's if this was a top 20 list, it would make my top 20. It's not a top 10.
No, it doesn't even make my top 20. I don't get it. Everyone, Ron Shelton did Tin Cup and he did Bull Durham. Not a fan. I think if you were to take pure sports film, I mean Caddyshack, I love, but let's just take that down to pure sports. I'd say the best pure sports film, Field of Dreams.
Great. I mean, listen, I can't dispute. I love Field of Dreams. It holds up. It never gets old.
No. Every time it's on, I get sucked right the fuck in.
And if you're like a dad and like you know and you're it really kind of like it transcends sports.
It's also a movie that in 20 years, like your kids will show their kids.
Right.
I saw that in theater as a 12-year-old in 1989 when it came out. And I'm like, God damn! I still got teary eyed in the fucking theater. That was 12. Now it's years later.
We got to crack a couple of beers in here right now because this is getting like a little slow.
Yeah,
too much. Okay.
Oh, here's one more honorable man. I was in crazy about this one. I don't think I did not make my list. 8 Men Out. I don't remember really being crazy about that one.
No, it's a good story.
It's fine.
It's a good story. It's a better book.
I didn't read the book.
Yeah, it's a better book than it is a movie. It's a little slow as a movie.
Or The Natural. I think that's overrated.
That's the other one.
Overrated.
It's been on. Again, who's leaving Kim Basinger for Glenn Close?
Somebody who's blind, deaf, and dumb.
Right?
And,
Kim Basinger in her
and
fucking
it's
prime.
It's a really handsome Robert Redford in this movie. He looks good, but
he went
to go
apple picking later on, Pam.
I'll go apple picking. He was handsome back.
Robert Redford any day.
Yeah.
Kids really, or no kids, I'm in.
Early 80s, man, that was at his top game.
So those are the ones, and I think next week we should do the most underrated films of all time. And you can't use Cinderella Man because that's I'll cross off my list too. But I think that's highly one of the most overlooked films.
Okay. Let's go back to talk a little bit sports. Pam, jump in here. Mm-hmm. Like a little sports recap since the last time we got together, and let's start with Major League Baseball.
Yes, okay? The playoffs.
Are you a baseball
swing.
Fan?
No.
Wait,
I mean,
are you trying to say yes or no?
I think it's probably pretty clearly no to every are you a fan question you're going to ask about every single sport. But I love getting drunk and yelling, so I'll go to baseball any day.
Well, baseball is great, and it's great. It's even a better sport drunk than any of the other four major sports. But what do you think, Kevin, about the way the Mets ended the season?
Not surprising. That's a typical Met fashion. Familia has now earned the right to be said in the same sentence as Armando Benitez and Byung-Hun Kim as the perennial bed shitter in the playoffs. Although 50-some saves in the regular season is great, but in the playoffs,
Was Benitez even a playoff pitcher?
He was in the 2000 Yankees.
I was thinking two other guys who he reminds me of now.
Okay, who?
Trevor Hoffman won.
I was gonna say him, but he only made it once.
And Brad Lidge.
There you go. There's another one.
That's another guy.
Lidge is a bigger.
And Kim was a good one too, because they would be really good
twice.
Kim was really good during the season, and then in the playoffs, just shit the bed. And that you listen, and you also got to give it up to Madison Bumgarner.
Best postseason pitcher ever
in our lifetime. I don't know if we're
gonna, in any lifetime.
This is too. He's too dominant, and you got to put him in a conversation with Koufax
and Whitey Ford. Whitey Ford is one of the biggest, obviously. Whitey Ford. Look at the stats. Whitey Ford. And Andy Pettit is a tier below. He's like the one. He's like the tier two.
But there were games he got.
No. He did get torpedo, but he had gems and he had bombs. More gems than bombs, but he definitely had his moments.
And then currently, what's going on right now? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, I can't wait for Boston to get fucking swept out of here. Those guys can't eat a plate of dicks fast enough. Get out of here. Texas Rangers, I'm surprised they got ousted. My God.
I'm just going to say, what do you think about the Blue Jays? Four straight postseason wins, two of them in walk-off fashion. Man, you know, pretty impressive.
The only thing that's going to stop them is this long layoff they're going to have to endure. They're going to have 4 days off, which is going to stop any momentum, I think. But I'd rather be done in three than, you know, dick around and have the chance of being outed.
Who do you like in the World Series? Who do you think?
I got to go.
Next time we do this, we're going to be
pretty
close.
Yeah, we are. I just don't. God damn, anyway. I'm saying Toronto because they're just I don't see Cleveland getting past them. I see Cleveland taking care of the Sox. That's a no-brainer, I'd say. I don't see the Giants answering the Cubs' bell. They're going to be done very quickly. The Nats and Dodgers, give me the Nats to overcome that hump. They can't get past the hump. No Strasburg, whatever. They're working on it now. They'll get past the Dodgers. I know it's going to sound like chalk talk. The Cubs are going to win and beat the Nationals. Give me the Cubs. Give me the Jays in the series. I know it's nothing sexy. You want to go on a limb once in a while, but I just can't see the Nationals making a run against the Cubs. I don't.
Well, good pitching. Listen, if the Nationals kind of get that pitching together a little bit, they can do what the Mets did to them last year. Good pitching will always be good hitting.
Besides Zimmerman and Rourke? I mean, are they? They're good. They're
Max
very
Scherzer.
Sure, I forgot Scherzer. That's right. Yeah, right. I mean, the Cubs got aces to answer their own too. They got Hendricks, who's having a hell of a year. They've got obviously Arrieta
and less than one of the best postseason pitchers.
Lackey
also.
Too.
He's up there. Yeah, I'm gonna. I give the Nationals a shot, but if I'm picking, I would have said the exact same thing. I would have said Blue Jays, Cubs. And last thing about baseball before we move on, you're a Yankees fan.
Yeah.
What do you think the Yankees got to do this offseason?
They should stand pat and do nothing. Let the kids develop. They lost a share's money. There are not any pitchers out there that are free agents that are worth going after. Chris Sale is available for trade, but they're going to want a Gary Sanchez. I say no.
No.
Hold on to Sanchez. Hold on to the kids. That's exactly what Cashman did when he unloaded all these relievers. You know what they can go back and get? They can get Chapman. They can go back and sign Chapman. Lock him up. He's a free agent.
What did I write?
You have it?
I said the one free agent move they should make.
Chapman. Look at us.
Build up that bullpen. Let's see what these kids, because the following year is a huge
Bryce
free
Harper
agent.
And Manny Machado will be Yankees, yes.
Or what they can do, if they do sign one of those guys, then the kid they got from Chicago or Didi, you know, they can package him with either a Judge or Bird or somebody like that.
They need Bird. Bird's playing first base next year.
Well, you got Tyler Austin, and they may also think about grabbing somebody in a trade. You never know with the Yankees, but they got to, I agree with you, wait this year. Let's see what the free agent class brings. They got to get an ace, and they got to get an innings eater type of guy. But let's see what they have now. But you can compete next year if you build up the back of the bullpen. I think that young kids are going to be really, really good. And you also may look to maybe trade Sterling Castro.
Depends what we can get for him. He had a great year. I was kind of like 60-40 for that trade. I'm like, well, we have, what the fuck was his name? I forgot. And then I was like, yeah, why not? Okay, didn't give up much for him. Then ended up getting Adam Warren back anyway, which I loved. I thought he was great.
He's not a great eighth inning guy. He's a better seventh inning guy. So that's why if you sign Chapman, bump everyone
Betances
down
to the eighth.
He's a better eighth inning guy.
He
was
a rough last September. Holy shit.
Put Warren in at that seventh inning, shorten the game. Let's see what a couple of these kids can do. And I think they could be a wild card team next year.
I don't know about that. Severino needs to get his head out of his ass. He had a great rookie year, and this year was terrible.
He may wind up being a better relief pitcher than he is a starter.
And then Cessna we have as a starter. These other guys, these rookies. The only guy we have is a veteran, right? And Eovaldi's out for next year as well.
Right.
Sabathia's on his last – next year is his last year.
Yeah, if he don't produce, you can cut him at some point.
Yeah, and I mean,
kind of do what they did with Teixeira and.
Well, they didn't cut Teixeira, but.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But kind of like, okay, farewell type of thing. Same thing with A-Rod. Like, you know this is going to be it. But I think they have a couple of kids down there.
Brian Mitchell, who broke his leg in the spring training, had a great. And then he broke his leg. He's supposed to be hot shit. Tanaka, let's baby him. Let's not blow his arm out.
You know? I like the kid, Sessa.
He was fine. I have the
former Mets.
Oh, and they have Pineda, who's dog shit. One day he's dog shit. The next day he'll go out and throw 8 shutouts and 13 strikeouts.
I have no confidence in him.
I don't either. Okay, Pam, what do you think the Yankees should do? Where do you think their spots for upgrading should be?
Ditto everything you said. I think I feel exactly the same.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Jeff Paul, your Mets, they need their people to get healthy. I mean, Syndergaard was the only guy who was left alive in that rotation. When's Harvey get back? When are they projecting his return?
He'll be ready for the start of spring.
Okay.
Training. You'll have Mats. Harvey. You'll have Wheeler. You'll have Mats. You'll have DeGrom. They'll all be back. Hopefully, I think they should sign Bartolo again.
He's an inning. That fat fuck's an innings eater. Give him that.
He doesn't walk a lot of things. He doesn't walk anybody. He had 15 wins this year. Shows no signs of letting up. No, bring him back for a little bit of insurance. As you kind of could see, you can never have enough pitching. I like the kid Lugo. I like the kid Gazelman.
Conforto, what's going to happen with him? Stay or go?
He stays. I think.
I mean, the minors. Stay in the minors or.
I think the major question for the Mets is, do they sign Cespedes? If they don't, where are you getting your offense from? They're a completely different team with him in the lineup.
I don't even know. This is how bad this free agent class is pitching. I don't even know who the three biggest free agents are this year.
He's by far the biggest guy.
There's one. I'm saying besides him.
Do you know who the best starting pitcher is on free agency this year?
It's like a number three.
It's Rich Hill.
That's it. Yeah, like I said, a number three.
He's 36 years old.
He's going, oh, my God, who's going to sign him to a fucking deal?
Someone will sign him for one year.
Yeah.
Maybe the Dodgers resign him.
He'll hold it for offense, who's out there? There's no one out there.
No, that's why I think the Mets, they got to step up and they got to sign this guy. You know, retain Bruce for one more year.
His price.
Or package Bruce.
He's terrible.
Or something.
That was a bad trade on your part. The Cespedes thing is going to fuck everybody because he's the only.
Why is it a bad trade? Who'd they give him? Dilson Herrera? What's he going to be?
I mean,
well, watch next year. This guy becomes.
What did Bruce do for you? What did he hit? 220?
Carried you to the wild card in the last 10 days of the season.
He didn't do shit leading up until then.
That's true, but did it make a difference? He got hot at the right time.
Two months of nothing. All right. I mean, look, Cespedes' price is going to go way the fuck up because it is such a poor class of free agents. He's going to get a lot more than he deserves.
Or he could not opt out, still make $27.5 million next year, and then try and see do the length of the contract with the Mets.
He's going to opt out because it's in his financial interest to opt out.
Probably will, but you don't know with this guy. Everyone last year was saying, no chance the Mets are re-signing Cespedes, and they hit him up with a 3-year contract.
Noted. All right.
So that's
baseball. Let's get back to some film talk because poor Pam's in quiet as a church.
No, I'm learning so much. You're giving me so much to talk about on my next date if it ever happens. Listen, this is a win for Jewish girls everywhere. To be on anything sports conversation, I'm winning today.
Oh, Pam is taking notes as we're talking.
Oh, yeah.
I love Pam. Pam did fantastic on comics, watching comics.
Thanks.
Just want to point that out. Episode 4 just taped. Okay. Let's go over. We have a little game we call. I don't know what the hell we call it. We like to guess the box office grosses of opening weekends for films.
Oh, this is fun.
Right? So I'm going to read out our results from the last 2 weeks, and then you're going to jump
you
in.
You have it, right?
I have it. Right. I have it all here. So here's what we did. I have an innate ability to fucking – someone should hire me for this because I have a good ability. I don't know why. It's whatever. All right. We wrote down 6 films we have. We guessed the box office. I have the actual retail price. The first film – we're going to go backwards. Mastermind, Zach Galifianakis. Jeffrey Paul, you said 15.5 million. I said 15. You snaked me, went 15.5. Actual retail price, $6.5 million. I went under and I got it. Ooh, that film ate a bag of dicks. Just not as much as we thought it was going to eat. Terrible. Next film on the docket, Deepwater Horizon with Kate Hudson, Marky Mark. I don't call him Mark Wahlberg. Fuck that. I know him from his Calvin Klein underwear days. That film.
He jerked off to the dance.
I mean.
We all have.
The best, by the way, the best Marky Mark film appearance ever was him in Fear, where he's finger popping Reese Witherspoon on the roller coaster.
Did you say finger popping?
Finger popping.
Got it. Filed.
Noted. I said 25 million. This, I thought it had, and Kurt Russell in it too, of course, of, you know, Big Trouble in Little China and Miracle fame. 25 million, I said. Jeff Paul said six. He predicted a colossal bomb. Yours truly comes in again. 20 million.
Oh.
Deepwater Horizon.
I would have guessed lower than six.
Really? No. This had too much star power to be that bad. Miss Peregrine's Home for,
Wait, how about that Masters of whatever it was
Masterminds?
Called? Yeah, that had a lot of stars in it too.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Those true story films make more than jerk-off comedies that Zach Galifianakis is in, I guess. All right. Miss Peregrine's Home for the Children, blah, 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 blah. Tim Burton did that. Do you see that for free?
No, but I...
Oh.
Well, I would if it was free. I mean, I would.
What's the one film that you would not see if it was free?
Oh that's...
Avengers or some shit? You don't get...
Oh, no, Star Wars.
Really?
I'm the same way.
Fuck you.
Yeah,
you couldn't pay me to sit through
we're,
that.
We're not nerds.
Stop
exactly.
It's excellent. Sorry. Films transcend time. Miss Peregrine, I said 22 million. Jeff Paul said 13. Actual retail price, 28 million.
Oh.
Six away from that, so it's three in a row for me. Next one, the middle school years.
Can I think like this means something?
I know it does. The people.
He goes home all proud. I guess
he's gonna be like high fiving people as he leaves the building.
I'm gonna movie get that no one gives a shit about.
I mean, congratulatory BJ when I get home. Middle school. I don't know if that's a long title. I said seven. Jeff Paul, you had higher hopes for this. You said 22.
Four.
Close. But actually, I was close. The actual retail price, $6.9 million. I was up by $100,000. This film ate a bag of dicks. Next up, the controversial and by film Birth of the Nation, the first film really ever made. I said 5 million. Jeff Paul, you said 9. Actual retail price, 7.1.
Oh. Mm.
But the budget was 10. Mm. So that's a win for you, Jeff Paul.
Yeah, I'm proud now. I feel good tonight.
All right, buy an extra pack of gum for you. All right. Girl on a Train, the popular book that was boring as fuck. I gave up about halfway through because English people are just too damn wordy. I said 39. Jeff Paul, you said 17 and a half actual price. Pam, what would you guess?
Probably close to what you said. Probably like 34.
Actual retail price, 24.6 million. So you were closer. But Jeff Paul takes that one.
Yeah, it has hype.
It does, but it did not do well in the reviews. The book, I thought, it's a very watered-down Gone Girl.
Also, is Emily Blunt as big of a star as we're making her out to be?
No, but she certainly is damn cute. You know what she's very good in? Sicario. Did you see that? Excellent film.
I didn't even hear of that.
Drugs. It's a story about
not what was the movie she was in with Tom Cruise?
Edge of Tomorrow. Excellent film.
That was pretty good.
Excellent. Again, that's one of my underrated films.
Yeah.
Very underrated. Okay, so this is what we have coming out this week in wide release on 3,200 screens. Ben Affleck tries to wash the shit stain off of being Batman in the film called The Accountant.
That looks good.
Yes, Jeff Paul, but how good do you think the public will perceive it? Why don't you give me – I have all my numbers written down here, by the way, as you can see, so I will not be piggybacking.
Okay.
Give me – actually, I should take note here for –
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, okay.
I have my guess ready to go.
Okay, excellent.
All right, so I'm going first.
You may.
Boy, okay. It looks like a pretty good movie. I'm going to go with – I'm going to go $30 million.
My guess is 27.
I say 18. I don't think as many people care about
it
as much. Just don't. Next up, Kevin Hart does yet another.
Why don't you think this is going to be good?
Previews.
Yeah, the fuck out of this thing.
Does it mean it's good? If you have to promote it that much, it means it's not that good. I don't care. Anna Kendrick, by the way, annoys me. I don't know why. I love Up in the Air is great. I don't know why she's in this. Doesn't fit the mold. I'm not buying this. I think I'll see it for free on Netflix. How about that? Zing. Kevin Hart does a concert.
You are getting more Jewish by the day, just so we're clear.
By proxy with you?
He's got to pay his as the show is going on.
He is like a step away from a black hat.
Yes.
By the way, on the train here, I saw three little Orthodox kids with their hats in the cases, like they carry the carrying case they have for that.
It's the travel bag.
Yeah, the sombrero case, it looks like. It's That was very cute.
Now he's got a Torah in front of him.
I mean,
some
right.
prayer, okay.
All right, what's the next movie?
Kevin Hart does a concert film, another one, coming out. Pamela Ray, why don't you go first?
I think four.
Ooh. He has a big Do you know what Kevin Hart made over $80 million last year?
I know, he's got a big following, but I also haven't heard anything about him in months.
I watched his one special, if it was like 2011, last week. I turned it off in about 8 minutes. Eight. Jeff Paul, give me a number.
I'm going to say 12.
I'm going to split the difference. I said 10. Concert films, not doing very well, unless it's a Bieber or Katy Perry when it comes out.
I could see the black community coming out and supporting this somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
He has a huge following. I mean, it's massive.
But here's the thing.
Do you think he's a good actor?
Depends. Depends what the film is. I don't know. I haven't seen enough to judge.
He has to not be playing Kevin Hart. Is he a good actor?
What has he done that's not been Kevin Hart?
Exactly.
Okay. But then again, if you're Kevin Hart, it's like, well, they're paying me to be me. Fuck it. I'm going to cash every check. Below me.
Of course.
Another one. This is only in 22,000 screens. Max Steel. It's like a teen superhero film. I never heard of it until I started doing research for this podcast today. Max Steel. Jeffrey Paul, what do you think? Might be a young adult book, I guess.
Who's in it?
No one that you would know.
What kind of release is it going to be?
2,000 screens.
Even if he doesn't not tell me the truth, I wouldn't know this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything can be verified on boxofficemojo.com.
So I'm going to say, that's not even a real website.
It most certainly is.
No, it's not.
There's no way that's not porn.
Okay. Google right now.
It's porn.
Just kidding. It's a shemale fucking shemale video.
That's why I have it bookmarked.
Then you should know it. Don't play coy with me, bitch.
Oh, well, since it does have shemales in it, I'm going to say it's going to gross. Wow, this is. I'm going on a limit. I have no idea about this movie.
No, I don't either.
Okay. Let's say $9 million.
Oh, you motherfuckers. That's exactly what I said. Pam, what do you want to guess?
Oh, I'm $9 million. I think less than that. I think six.
Fair. I'm not gonna.
Are you sticking with nine?
I am. I wrote it. I think I wrote it down. I'm sticking with. Okay. So the following week we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The next one, or as I call this, the Black Mrs. Doubtfire. Madea made a Halloween film. And kids, if this is not a testament to stick to your dreams and keep on striving for the stars, I don't know what is, because Tyler Perry's obviously have a great blackmail list, no pun intended, and has gotten all these fucking films greenlit. Medea Halloween, I didn't even bother writing the full title.
Can we do negative as our guess? I mean, does it have to be?
You could. You'd be the first guest that ever
you would.
Did that.
You probably would be right.
Hey, you know what? I also just realized she's our first female guest.
I know. I mean, it's a sports theme show, but.
It makes total sense that you'd pick me.
And I love that she's in here.
What did I tell you when I texted you before? I said, get Pamela Ray in here. Madea Halloween, Pamela Ray. I want your deepest guess here.
I mean, my deepest guess is negative, that it's losing money before
I want to know what the budget is. That's a real question. And they didn't have it on boxofficemojo.com, tranny porn. What's your money guess? What do you guess?
3.5.
3.5. Jeffrey Paul.
I don't know, man. People go see this shit.
But more than 3.5 million?
Not too much more. I'm gonna say.
It's a dead time of year.
I'm going 8.
Ooh.
I said 6. Yeah, I don't. I just. This horse has been whipped and beaten and left for dead years ago. Yet he still makes.
He's got to be making money if he's getting the budget. Hollywood doesn't give out.
He's got to be making. He has to be making this for probably like a few million bucks, and he's probably taking the gross points on this because there's no way he's gonna get paid on this. The next one called "I'm Not Ashamed." It's a story of. I'm not ashamed. It's a story of one of the girls who survived Columbine. So a real real knee slapper here. Mm.
So it's comedy.
just
kidding.
Sing.
Yes, it's running with a double feature with.
Schindler's List.
Schindler's List 2.
The Jew Returns.
Schindler's List, School Ties. What else you got? 12 Years a Slave. What else? Okay. I'm Not Ashamed. Jeffrey Paul, why don't you lead off?
I'm not ashamed. Who's in it?
No one we know. No names. No notable names, I should say.
Wow. Is it a documentary or is it a movie?
It is not. It is a film based on a girl's diary of being a Columbine.
Let's go... 5.5 million.
Pamela Ray.
So I think that people are fascinated by any anything where people die in mass.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to go 7.5.
7.5. Jeff, what did you say again?
I said 5.5.
5.5. I said 4 because there are no names in this film. And who wants to go see that horrible shit relived? Not many. Well, I don't know
like
any people.
According to Pamela Ray,
Bowling with
like
Columbine, which was also about it, got like massive. Like, I think that's the name. Columbine. Doesn't need it. Like, they have a name.
It was more. Cool. It was more based on gun sales in the country than it was with the Columbine theme,
that's
though.
That's true. Okay, fair.
That's why. All right, this one I'm looking very much forward to. I saw the first one, I was surprised. When I saw the preview, I said, oh, good, another Tom Cruise film, same shit. Then I found out it was a book. I read the book.
Is this Jack Reacher?
It is. The book, the main character is a guy who was in the Army. He was 6'4", 250, shredded muscle, blonde hair, blue eyes. Who does Hollywood play him? Tom Cruise. But the film, first one, very good. Surprised. Very surprised. Jack Reacher never looked back. I'll start off. I think this is going to be a nice little surprise. This is one of the films. This is showing that we're getting to the end of the year when the good stuff starts getting released. Built an audience. Jack Reacher is going to make $25 million opening weekend, my estimation. Jeffrey Paul.
I saw someone post this, and I got furious, okay? Because they've been promoting this one also. Jack Reacher and starring Tom Cruise. Someone wrote, Tom Cruise starring in Jack Reach Around. Fucking.
And by someone posting that, he means Jeff Paul's writing that on Twitter.
It's brutal that someone would actually post this shit.
Was it the outlaw?
So, no, he no because someone
oh, it's
else,
not someone else's
someone
joke.
Else would have had to write it. Then he would have like
then he would have copied
it, his
it.
Own.
Noted.
Yeah, but now see Jack Reacher, Tom Foos. Let's see, man, he's box office gold. This guy, he's a national treasure, Pam. Gonna say, what did you say, 25?
I did.
Okay, I'm gonna go up you a little bit. I'm gonna say 27.
Pamela Ray.
Jack Reach Around.
Literally no idea. Mm-hmm. I haven't even heard of this.
Oh,
it's so, about a guy who goes cruising and he gives guys reach arounds in McDonald's.
Okay, so
all right,
that
this
case,
is now the
woman,
Kevin Goatee and Pamela Ray podcast.
I'm in.
This is where the whole thing takes place. He goes to various fast food restaurants and just goes behind the counter.
This sounds great. This is like
I would actually see that movie.
I would see that in a heartbeat. I'd see that in repeat and sit in the back of the theater with a bucket of popcorn on my lap.
People in the know,
and then the popcorn on the floor in 3 seconds.
Yeah, people in the know come in wearing shorts
or wind pants
for easy access.
You know what? I'm gonna take your word for it, and I'm gonna say 29.
Okay, 29. Two more to go. This next one.
Yeah, this game never ends.
There's
we just
five.
Keep adding just, more and more movies. We're up. We've had 6 movies already.
We should do 6. Jesus. That's why. So this next one called Keeping Up with the Joneses, where it's kind of like a not a Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but they find. Two people, Zach Galifianakis, and I think it's the fucking crazy bitch from Wedding Crashers, Ella Fisher.
I love her.
She's pretty hot, right?
Yeah.
Got it. Find out they think that their neighbors, John Hamm and Gal Gadot of Wonder Woman and Fast and Furious fame, are assassins. Keeping up with the Joneses. Yeah.
Isn't this the exact movie that hooked those, what are those two people that just got divorced?
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, Brad Pitt.
Yeah, this is Hollywood. We're pretty much, I mean, with a slight twist, they're out of ideas in Hollywood as far as I'm concerned. Hence the disgustingly high number of reboots we're seeing. So, Pamela Ray, since you had a question, Keeping Up with the Joneses, what number do you think that it's going to bring opening weekend?
You know what?
21. 21.
I literally pulled that number out of my vagina. I have no idea.
That's such a lovely kosher vagina it is.
I have seen previews for it, though.
Oh, that's points. Jeffrey Paul, what number do you give Keeping Up with the Joneses?
I'm going to go into Pam's vagina and pull out 18.
18. I say 11. I think no one gives a rusty fuck about this one. And speaking of rusty fucks, this next one, and I wish I was making this up, based on the popular board game Ouija board.
Wasn't this a movie?
The Origin of Evil. I guess it's a sequel.
This movie already exists. It's called Jumanji, and I love it.
They're rebooting Jumanji. Did you know that?
How can this? Is this not the reboot?
No, it's not. No, but The Rock is in Jumanji in the reboot.
Okay, well, I'm out if he's in.
Okay. He's also rebooting Big Trouble in Little China, one of my all-time favorite cult classics. I'm also out. Kurt Russell. Fucking love that film. Absolutely love it. Ouija, Origin of Evil, Jeffrey Paul.
Who's in it?
No one that we know.
Was it supposed to be a horror movie?
Is it like horror for kids or horror for adults?
I just look at the name on there.
Do we know what it's rated, Kevin?
Good question.
Let's go on boxofficemojo.com.
Turn the volume off so no one
can. Kevin, pull this out of your vagina. Come on.
Right.
You got this. I don't know. I mean, horror movie. Again, people may want go and see it because it's close to Halloween and people want to get a scared. So
this does put in 2 weeks' time for Halloween. So that's
scary geared towards kids or teens. I think it'll do better than scary geared towards adults.
Very sound logic as well. I would agree with that as well.
Exactly.
So give me a number.
Okay. I'm going to go. I'm going to go with.
It's PG-13, by the way.
Okay. So that's a bigger market now.
Budget $6 million.
Wow. Okay.
Michael Bay produced this.
Okay, so we're going to go a little higher. So I'm going to go with what I said before as well. I'm going 18 on this one as well. Can I keep saying as well, by the way?
Mm-hmm. 18 was my guess, too.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay. I have 4. No one's going to give a fuck about this film. No one cares if it's a, if it was a sequel, no one cares about that.
I think anything served up as scary around this time of year will.
No, that's I completely agree with you. That's a very good point. I just think that there are other better things that go see. I mean, look, people, Medea or that, I pick up, no, never mind. Well, that's our portion of the box office guessing game. Real quick, so we have, 5 minutes left then?
Yeah, not even.
All right.
About 4 or 5 minutes left, yeah.
Pam, did you watch a debate last night?
I did, yes.
Thoughts?
I was just with my family for the last week in Ohio.
That sounds worse than Ouija Origin of Evil.
It's pretty bad, but I spent the week making sure that none of my family were dumb enough to vote for Trump. Mm-hmm. I was almost fully successful. I have 2 in my family that are voting for Trump.
Now, are you pro-Hillary or are you just anti? Is this a pro-Hillary or an anti-Trump vote?
I don't know anymore. I think I'm probably at this point pro-Hillary. But I think Trump is psychotic, and I think he has a tiny penis, and I think that's dictating all of his anger issues.
So did JFK, but that didn't stop him from being a great president. Not that I think Trump's going to be a great president.
You think he had a small penis?
Yeah,
he's Irish. He's Irish. That's the only reason why. Okay. No other facts.
I mean,
in all
fairness, Hillary Clinton also probably has a tiny penis, but.
But a huge clit.
Yeah.
Like a speed bag. Jeffrey Paul, did you watch the debate?
Nope.
Me neither. I was watching the Giants Packers. That's what I was doing. Fuck. You know why? Because I get all of my news on Facebook.
Oh, Twitter's better for news. I find it more factual.
I was being facetious, but I completely agree.
Do you think these debates are moving the needle in any direction?
Nope.
No, it's just making me hate Facebook for the next month and a half.
You know what they're doing? They're moving the wine because I bought 2 bottles to get through that debate last night.
Oh, stop it.
And there's no way I wasn't the only one.
Stop it. You don't need a debate to have you have 2 bottles of wine.
Do you know what the numbers were last night for the debate?
No.
Probably like Super Bowl numbers again, weren't they?
No. It took a hit from the first one.
So the first one was like 100. Like a rating was 100.
I thought the first one was 85.
I thought it was, whatever. Okay. It's astronomical. It's
what do you think it was last night?
All right, she said it took a hit. I'm going to say 57.
Pam? Everything is a game here, by the
way. I love gambling. I love it.
108.
No, 70.
Oh.
So it's
a little bit.
Yeah, it's going down a little bit.
You made me feel like it was going to be a move in one direction big time.
Right.
And then I think losing
15 million people is – I think people are starting to get like enough of these.
I think there are very few undecideds at this point.
I'm going to tell you why. Because first of all, you had baseball last night and you had football last night. That's automatically going to knock out.
The first one was on Monday Night Football. The first one was on Monday too, so –
And that listen, if they put that on a Tuesday night, it would have had 140 million, let's say, I think.
I don't know. I think people are starting to check out on these two. You know, it's like
starting.
How much character assassination can you really take? Okay, we get it. They don't like each other. They're both going to say nasty things about each other. How about this last debate, have someone really like hone them in and you only talk about the issues. That's it. Neither one of these guys have addressed what they're going to do. You know, okay, we get it. Trump is a big mouth. She's a liar.
Crook.
Right.
We should be in jail. She should.
How many times are we going to keep hearing sound bites? And that's what all the debates are. They seem to be sound bites.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, it's very
so you're voting Hillary, it sounds like, obviously.
Yeah, probably.
Jeff Paul, you voting or no?
I'm I'm going to vote. I haven't decided yet. But here's something.
The jury's out. Yeah.
He's voting
for Trump.
Here's something else that I hated on Facebook. You know, someone wrote this. Because this was original. This was original thought.
Who wrote it?
Okay. And
Jimmy Failure.
No. But just tell me, because you've never heard anyone say this on Facebook yet. Okay. Someone wrote, and they really going on the limb here when they said this, they wrote that whoever wins the election, we all lose.
Oh, sarcasm.
All right. On that note, let's do some plugs here.
Yes,
and then
please.
Get out of here.
Hey, Pamela Ray, where can we find you next?
You know what? I actually don't know. I'm somewhere on Sunday with a bunch of people taping my new promo video, but I don't know where.
Do tell. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you give your
tour? That's great.
Where about upcoming gigs, or where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter. I've got two Twitter handles, but I'm using It's Pammer Time, ITS Pammer Time.
Love
like
that.
It's Hammer Time.
I got it. That'd have been funny, like, you know, 25 years ago when the song came out.
I think it's hilarious now.
Next comes out as a Tool
yourself.
Just to Quit reference.
I don't mind.
Where is your next gig? Any dates?
Sunday, but I didn't prepare to answer hard questions.
No, these are hard.
Do you have it on your? Okay. Why don't you look on your phone if you want to promote anything?
Yeah.
While we stall, Jeffrey Paul, where can we find you?
Okay, I'm on the road actually tomorrow and Wednesday over at Mustang Sally's in upstate New York in Horseshoe, New York. This Sunday, October 16th, I will be at Dangerfields with Mark DeMeo PBA Widows Fund. It's a really good fundraiser. I would love for people to come out and support that. And then November 5th, this is already sold out at the Looney Bin. You have myself.
Where?
Which
one? Staten Island?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have myself, Anthony DeVito, Robin Fox, Angel Salazar, raising money for pediatric cancer. 185 tickets gone already.
Good for you.
So
that's good shit.
Yeah, that's good people.
Tomorrow I'm at the Stress Factory, New Brunswick, New Jersey. I don't know if it's going to come up in time. Yeah, New Brunswick, New Jersey, Stress Factory.
Good club.
Yeah, it is. Second time doing that one. Then the I actually will be – that's September. No, September, that's not going to help me out any. Eastville Comedy Club next Tuesday, the 18th at 8. And I will be at Greenwich Comedy Club on the 30th. That's a Sunday.
I'm sure people are taking notes.
I know. More importantly, you can find me at Kevin Goatee, at Comics Watching and ComicsWatchingComics.com. Guys, Comics Watching Comics Episode 3 is coming in very, very, very shortly. Pamela Anderson, that's hilarious.
I'll take it.
Pamela Ray, where can we find you?
Sunday at Broadway Comedy Club at 8:30 p.m. Oops.
What a build up for that.
Yeah, that's – whose show is that?
This is radio. We can't see. Who's a? Can we see?
Ah, Rich McDonald's on that show.
Oh, surprise,
it's a
surprise!
Good group. We've got Mike Solano. We've got some good people. Natty Bumper.
Never Carr. Let me guess. Kevin Nabrowski.
Okay,
no. Keeper Burke.
Kevin Griffler.
No.
Oh, wait. How about Adam Mussidi?
No, but stop guessing all of my people. Jesus.
How about Kevin Israel? Did he make the cut too?
No.
Oh my God.
No, but I like him. He's Jewish.
Oh, that's okay. Hey guys, listen. Thanks so much for listening to Safe. I did it again. God damn it. Well, listen to the Safe Word podcast too. The Sportsbook Box Office podcast. You're going to find us here again in 2 weeks on the 24th. Will be our next episode. Joining us in studio, Jeffrey Paul will be.
Next guest in studio? We're working on
it. Would it be Stephen Baker, the touchdown maker?
Possibly a phone call. By the way, for people who do follow this podcast, we're sorry about Boyd. Canceling last time. We have him.
Did we have any blowback from that?
Yeah, we actually have him rescheduled for November 10th.
The 10th is a Thursday. It's my birthday.
Hold on a second. I'll give you the exact
I know that. 7th then, right? Yeah, 7th.
Yeah, I believe it's November 7th. We have him coming in studio.
Right. Great. In the meantime, Goatee, Jeffrey Paul, Pamela Ray, thanks for coming hanging
thanks
out.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, tootly.
Thank
guys,
you.
Check
thank
it out.
You,
Sportsbook, Box Office Podcast on Twitter, Sportsbook Box. Later.
Okay, I got to get out of here.